Hi, this is Katie Hunter from MMA UK, and I'm here with Chopper Chai Lewis Parry. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for doing this.
I'll hold it.
I know you've come straight from training. Where were you training tonight?
I was training in Eastbourne. I was in the gi. I was doing my jiu-jitsu. So
first generation
mixed martial arts in Eastbourne.
Nice. What kind of belt are you in the gi?
Oh, I'm rubbish, mate. I'm rubbish in the gi. I'm a no-gi guy. No, I'm a blue belt going for my purple in gi. I only started in gi a year ago. Just over a year ago, last January.
And do you find it a big help in MMA?
I'll be honest, at first I hated it because I've been grappling since before I had my first professional fight. So I've always grappled no gi. My belt doesn't represent my ability at all.
Yeah.
Which is good. Sometimes, especially when you go against gi, you go to a new gym and you've got gi on, you can sort of start taking the piss out of people a little bit, you know? I don't know, there's something about it. I think there are definitely, it teaches you the proper technique. So when you are without the gi, you know, I can see the benefit of it now. And I'm actually I've reached that point where I enjoy it now. So it's not a chore. It used to feel like a chore before.
Yeah.
But now it's fun and it's enjoyable.
I feel like when you've come from no gi first as well, your grips are completely different. You still go for the no gi grips and it takes ages to get to terms with, like, going for the collar or even just the sleeves and just, you just want to...
You want to grab hold of a limb. But
yeah.
I don't know. To this day, I think, I'm sure there's people out there that agree with me. But I just feel like I could be going against a guy of lower level competence. And he just grabs my pant leg. And I'm just like, that's cheating. Like, you'll save him. Do you know what I mean? And I just feel like, nah, this isn't fair. It's like pulling somebody's hair in a fight. Do you know what I mean? It's just like a little bit soft. But I think that was just my naivety. I think maybe my frustration more than anything. So once I got to start enjoying it, it's now you appreciate it as a martial art.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, totally. not just a bunch of people wrestling in their pajamas. That's what it felt like. It was.
Again, thank you so much for doing this straight after training.
Oh, you're welcome.
Obviously got you on to talk about your headline fight at Rock 7, where you're facing Lucas Horobiec again. So your record 7-0-1. So you're obviously still undefeated, but he's the only non-win, shall we say, on your record.
Yeah.
How desperate are you to rectify that?
Desperation doesn't come into it. But I don't believe he should have. Do you know what the circumstance of the last fight is? I went into that fight very. What's the best way to describe it? I was very considerate towards him. I was I'm the same, you know, the kind of guy in the gym. I don't try and hurt people. I'm not one of those guys, you know that. I'm sparring, so I'm going to try and dictate what's going on here. I don't do that because I feel like we're all there to learn at the end of the day. But some people like to go in and treat it like a fight. And I'm like, well, if I'm going to go in and treat something like a fight, I want to get paid for it. So I know that he was a very last sort of minute replacement for a fight. The fight was kind of put together really late for our first fight. And I knew that I basically had to pay him to fight. And that's not a lot of people know about that stuff. But there was going to be no fight unless I paid him. So I paid for his medicals. I paid for everything. Kind of like boxing, you know. So if I didn't pay him, he wouldn't have had a fight. And I understood that he had work commitments. And I really wanted to compete because we've been talking about Bama competing on that show. And obviously there was the big balls up with the Stab Economy fight.
Yeah.
Which I feel strongly, and so does my team, that I was robbed in that fight. But you just move on, and I wanted to rectify the situation by competing again, you know?
Yeah.
So we rushed to put that thing together. And in the back of my mind, I was always like, do you know what? I kind of can relate to the guy. He's just, he's doing, almost doing us a favor by turning up. And I know he's got to go to work again the following day. So I remember saying to my my manager, I was like, do you know what? I won't use elbows on him because I don't want to bust him up. I kind of went in like a very too considerate, like not how you should be going.
What did your manager say when you said that?
He was like, I don't know, he kind of supports whatever I said, the way that I'm feeling, you know, because he knows the kind of person I am. But after, he was like, well, you know, you went in too kind, you know, too nice. And that was, I guess, the beginning of the nightmare that that became the fight, you know. He threw an oblique kick on my leg because I was throwing a lot of lead leg kicks, and I guess he just kind of decided he wanted to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And it popped my knee and I tore my MCL.
Oh.
And I spent the whole fight trying to figure out how I could, you know, maneuver around the cage while somebody's trying to take your head off. So I didn't really feel comfortable until, and I say, when I say comfortable, I say comfortable as best as I could be until the third round. I remember I got to like the third round and I was like, do you know what? I gauged it. He wasn't really trying to engage with me. And I knew by that point how much weight I could put on it with, and what I could get away with. I knew I couldn't throw jabs because I put the weight in the lead leg.
Yeah.
But I was able to, if I didn't pivot, I was able to throw high kicks, like high head kicks. So it was just a matter of feeling out the process and what could I get away with. And sadly, it just wasn't enough time. If it was a 5-round fight, I think I would have got away with putting the pressure on a bit more. But when your knee goes, it doesn't feel stable.
No.
People don't realize, like, you feel like your leg's just going to give out, you know? And I wasn't risking. I wasn't just going to risk that to entertain people. Do you know what I mean?
You were definitely moving differently in that fight. And that completely explains why you didn't look like your usual self. And then afterwards, he talked a little bit of shit about you got a point deducted for eye pokes. He said that, like, he definitely should have won the fight on points. Without that point deduction, with the point deduction, he should have been miles ahead. What do you say to that?
Well, that's the bit that I took offence to, was the fact that he was talking as if he deserved the win. You know, you can look at it two ways. He might feel like he did a good performance. Well, no, you couldn't beat somebody who had one leg, like, and you couldn't put them away. So, and even with a point deduction, he didn't do anything. He didn't try and do anything. He just tried to stay away. He knew where my power was in my hands. And he tried to stay away, which is smart. It was a smart thing to do. I couldn't really chase him down, so it was a smart thing to do. But you know what? I'm a very respectful person. I know I'm known for, like, talking a lot of smack, but I entertain, you know what I mean? I enjoy it. It's fine. It's part of my character. I would never be disrespectful to somebody after the fact. And he commented that he should have won and he could beat me and all that. And that offended me. And the fact of the matter is, I will not be trying to preserve his face for him so he can go to work the following day or the following week or whatever. I absolutely want to fucking destroy this guy. Like, I've never felt like I want to hurt someone, and I absolutely want to destroy this guy. So I've not been talking any smack about it. I'm going to cave his face. That's how I feel. And I feel that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel on top of that, I feel sorry for him because if he'd have just kept it kind of respectful, then it might have been a different case. But it's not going that way this time.
You've got a point to prove.
It's not even a point to prove. I just actually want to hurt him. I just want to hurt him. Because you know what? The another thing. When he landed that kick on my knee.
Yeah.
If you watch it back, you can see that I react to it. Like, it hurt. His eyes lit up. And he kept trying to go for it.
Yeah.
Now, that's a career-ending injury. That's no joke. If I, it's like me poking someone in the eye, right? And then, oh, no one saw it. Let me do it. You can blind the person. Like, it's a fucking serious thing. And you're going for those kicks, which I think are dangerous. The oblique kick, you know, especially with the power in the rear leg. And he kept going for it. And that pissed me off. When I look back at it, I'm like, you're taking a piss. Because you could have ended a career. And it's not even just a career. You could have given me trouble walking, full stop, you know. So once is an accident, two's just taking a fucking piss. And for that, I owe him.
What do you think of those oblique kicks then? Do you think they should be banned? There's kind of two schools of thought on it. Some people Absolutely. Want it to be as much like a street fight as it can be, and they want headbutts and soccer kicks and the rest of it. And other people think, like you said, they're career-ending injuries and they've got no place in sport.
Well, I think it should be considered in the same sort of light as like small joint manipulation. You wouldn't grab somebody's fingers and try and snap them or their toes, because these things are have... Like, they're a long-lasting detriment to, yeah. to the athlete and then to the sport. So, if you're gonna do that, make it as real as you want it. I mean, there's bare-knuckle boxing for that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But with joints, once they're gone, you tear those ligaments, those tendons, all those things that hold that in place. You could potentially not walk again. You know, yeah. Look at Rusimar Palhares, like what he was doing to guys. He was destroying guys' legs. They wouldn't fight again. That's not acceptable, because at the end of the day, as much as it's combat, is still a sport, and it's sports entertainment. You know, when you got situations like Frank Mir and Big Nog, when he's breaking his arm, that's a choice. He didn't go out there trying to break his arm. It's just like, look, he's not going to tap, so I'm going to keep it on until either he taps or it breaks. But there was a choice there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wasn't like, okay, you can't. You have no choice to defend this. I'm going to snap it regardless of what you say. So I think when you make a conscious decision in your head to try and injure somebody, you're a fucking scumbag. And I will treat a scumbag accordingly.
So there's some epic beef going into this rematch then.
It's not even beef. It's just I'm going to beat him up. I'm going to absolutely beat him up. There's going to be no real friendly touching gloves. Don't even come at me with that stuff. Like, I'm going to beat him up. To what I should have done the first time. So it's my bad. I should have done it the first time. But this time I'm going to kick his ass. Simple.
And
there's no beef. There's no beef. Like, I'm not. I could shake his hand after. But I'll tell him how much of a scumbag he is after as well. You know what I mean? I can take the piss.
I can't wait. So while I've got you on, I just wanted to talk about a couple more things. So
go for it.
A load of different promotions, obviously Bama, that you fought Lucas on, UCMMA. But the one I wanted to talk to you about is ONE FC. You fought for them before?
Are you sure you want to talk about them guys?
No.
I said, if you want to talk about them guys, you can. Why? I won't have much nice to say about them.
Okay. Why?
Well, they didn't treat me very nice. So we just didn't. We didn't have a good relationship.
Oh, sorry.
I didn't realize. No, it's no big deal. Like, it's old news, isn't it? But you know, we didn't get along very well, and because of that, I don't really have anything nice to say about them. It's simple.
Fair
as that.
Play. Yeah. What about Glory? You had a great record fighting for Glory. That's another superb high level promotion to fought on. Tell us about your time there.
I mean, when I first got to Glory, I mean, everything until the end was great. It's just, I have a personality, I think, that not even rubs people the wrong way. It's just, I don't take anyone's shit.
Right.
I'm very outspoken. And all promotions, from little to big, will try and take the piss out of the fighter or the athlete or the manager. They will try and take the piss at some point. So it might not be for 10 years, let's say, but eventually... If they can take the piss somewhere, they'll take the piss. If it saves them money or if it helps them. And that's kind of like, when I spot that, I just can't. I'm like sitting there going, I can't bite my lip anymore. Like, I've got to say something. And then when you say something, you open a can of worms. And then it's like, well, I'm not backing down. They're not backing down. So you're like, you're butting heads. Nothing ever gets solved because no one wants to be on the back foot. And it's just like, well, do you know what? I'd rather not be with somebody who hasn't got full respect for me 100% of the time, because I'll sell a fight. You ask me to do something, I'll do it. You ask me to go dress up as a clown and give out like flyers, if I got the time, I'll do it. Like, it's the sort of thing that you do to promote a fight. I don't mind doing them sort of things. So whenever they used to say jump through hoops, I'd do it. And I'd be the one pushing forward ideas. Let's do this, let's do that. And then the minute something gets questioned, it's like, well, you're in the wrong. So, well, I'm definitely not in the wrong. And that all started with the whole glove situation that I had. I had a glove issue with Glory. And that's where it just started to go sour. Because I wouldn't just do as I was told.
What was the issue?
So the issue initially was not in Brussels. So I was scheduled to fight Hezdi Gürgüz in Brussels. So that wasn't the beginning. People think that's where the glove issue was. The glove issue was in my previous fight in New Jersey. So I fought I fought a setup fight to fight Rico. So I was in there, I had a fight, my opponent pulled out, so they got me a last minute replacement. I fought that night, Rico fought that night. I got in the ring, challenged Rico, and they were trying to set that up, right?
Yeah.
But then things work out differently, you know, they're thinking about numbers, thinking about promotion, and thinking, oh, you know, get me another fight, give me a high profile fight. So they gave me Hezdi, which is great because I always wanted to fight him anyway.
Yeah.
And whilst I was backstage in the New Jersey fight, which I think was like Glory 33 or something like that. I can't remember what it was. Yeah. But I never got to warm up because I didn't have any gloves that fit. And there was this big hoo. I didn't have to wear my own gloves. So I had a pair of gloves. Glory, they manufactured some gloves. If you look back from like Glory, anywhere from like Glory 21, I think when I fought in San Diego, they made these gloves. So it was Glory Vegas. I think Vegas was the first time they had it. Nicky Holskin fought Raymond Daniels in Vegas. And the gloves looked like pillows. They look huge on the little guys because it was like one size fits all. And I love them gloves because they fit. I've got wide palms, right?
Right.
Really wide palms. Skinny wrist, but wide palms. So when I make a fist, it's like I can't make... My hand is like this in the glove. The glove that they gave us anyway. So they wouldn't fit. And we had to get the athletic commission to allow me to wear my own gloves. Gloves that I'd had. So they allowed it. And I was able to fight. And we made sure we had everything in correspondence that... Look, we don't want to have this issue again. They promised us, because there's nothing worse than not being able to warm up. And then you're told, get out, you got to go out and fight, you know? So they assured us multiple times that they've got these new gloves and they're going to fit. And they got ones for the big guys and one, because all the big guys have big hands. But I mean, in kickboxing, I'm not a big guy. Like, everyone's my sort of size, you know? So... we get to Brussels and there's a glove issue. And we didn't even get to check the gloves until at the arena. So there was no giving us the gloves the day before. There was none of that. So it was like, man, look, these gloves don't fit. And they're bringing every Tom, Dick and Harry in the locker room trying on the gloves who aren't fighting. Like other heavyweights out of the crowd and stuff. I'm like, what the fuck's that got to do with anything? Like, oh, he's like, yeah, well, they fit him. I'm like, okay, well, you know, fucking how long's a piece of string? Like, it doesn't mean just because it fits him, doesn't mean that it's going to fit me. Do you know what I mean? Stupid. And we had this big argument. The fight didn't end up happening because they were just fucking around. Like, it was so much fucking around.
Because of the glove issue, the fight didn't end up happening.
Yeah, because the gloves, there was no gloves to fit. Then they tried. Yeah. Then they brought me their solution.
And they didn't let you wear your own?
No. Couldn't bring my own ones. But yet, they went in the... there was some... This is how ridiculous it was. There was a guy in the crowd, apparently, had his gym kit with him. And they knew this guy, and he comes in with 18-ounce gloves. We fight in 10s. He comes in with his 18-ounce gloves that fit, because I've got them. I spar with those ones. And they're like, okay, well, you can wear those. And I'm like, okay, well, what's he going to wear? They're like, well, he'll wear the 10s. And then their reaction was, don't worry, you hit harder than him. I was just like, but you lot fucking joke. And at that point...
The commission wouldn't have signed off on that, surely.
Listen, people do... It's promotion, do what the fuck they want, really. And it was in Belgium, so it wasn't like it was Nevada.
You
know
kind
what I mean?
Of one guy fighting in 10-ounce gloves.
It was a joke. Trust me, it was a different brand as well. It was like a different brand. Like, it was a joke. It was a fucking joke. And I'm at that point, I got pissed off. I was like, right, you're taking a piss now. I just took my wraps off. Because I was all wrapped up, ready to go. I was warming up with my wraps on. And I just said, you know what, you're like taking a piss out of me now. Then everybody from their locker rooms coming in, trying to fucking kick off with us. And I'm like, mate, listen, we'll just have a fucking fist fight, like, at this point.
Yeah.
And it just kind of went sour from
no
there.
No gloves.
It's not, yeah, it's not, I can't sit and say it's like the whole promotion. It's just certain guys that were working for the promotion that were in charge of dealing with me. Because I know that there's some fantastic guys there. Like, Court yeah. Hemmers did nothing but look out for my career and help me. So it's not even like I can pinpoint names and say, this guy's garbage, don't talk to him. That guy's garbage, don't trust him. It's just there were certain wheels in motion that had more momentum than others in my situation. So therefore, they were kind of controlling my mechanism. Do you know what I mean? Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
So me being me, I was like, well, fuck the lot here, innit? Like, just go, I'll just fuck off. And they had to end up paying me anyway because it's not my fault that the gloves didn't fit.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the benefit.
Is that the last fight on your contract? Or how did that work?
With Glory. That was... No, I had one more fight. So I need to check that my battery's got enough on there. 1 second. No, it's charging. Good. I had one more fight. And they scheduled it for 6 weeks later. But then I tore a ligament in my wrist, so I couldn't even punch. So that fight didn't happen. But that counted as a fight. Yeah, it was just like, to be fair, it was a shit couple of years because it was going from one thing to another. And it was, if anybody wanted to give up in their sport or their job or whatever, that was a perfect opportunity to do it because it was like everything was just going wrong. Then when I did
quote from you from another interview that you said,
of course you can.
I'm not injury prone, I'm calamity prone.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's just like shit just would always go wrong. There was always something. I mean, if you look, the Stav fight. Anyone who watched that fight back, those elbows hit him on the side of his head. There's pictures, because I always have a camera guy with me. Photographer and videographer. There's pictures of him holding the back of his head when the strike happens, but then they give him the ice pack and he's got it on the side of his head. So yeah. It shows where I hit him. And when you watch the replay, the fight, Leon waves the fight off, the fight's over. But then it's like, he starts doing all of this and it's like, I like Steph, but at the end of the day, I feel like I got robbed there. So that was another calamity because I did my part. Then I get fucking injured. That's another calamity. It's like, okay, cool, I didn't lose, but that's not what I went there for. I didn't go there to draw. I didn't go there to get injured. So I didn't get to fight until, again, just now, you know, last month. So
how long were you out then after the Bama fight with Lucas when you tore your MCL?
Until just January.
Wow.
I was out, yeah. I was out. That's what I'm saying. The injury was bad. The injury was really bad. Like, yeah. I couldn't just lift my leg up by itself. You know, I needed to grab my hamstring and lift my leg. And that was going on for months. Like, I couldn't stabilize. So I just kept my mind on the return. I was like, nah, do you know what? It's very easy to just say, fuck it now. And just be like, I can't be bothered with all of this. Because it doesn't just stop you from training and fighting. It stops you doing normal stuff.
Yeah.
Going to the shop and walking with a case of water. Like, I can't do it because I need one hand for a crutch. I need one hand for the key. Can't drive. I just couldn't do a lot of stuff. You know, I was relying on a lot of people to help me to get through that. And people don't realize that. They think, oh, you just can't go to the gym and kick a bag. Like,
yeah.
It affects every aspect of your life. And that's why I was pissed off. Because there's this jobber who I've had to pay to be there, and he's fucking going to injure me. That just my respect for him went out the window there.
Wow, you're going to be angry when you get back in the cage room.
Yeah, I'm not going to be very happy. I will be honest. I'm not very happy. I'm very motivated to be quite nasty, to be honest.
I was going to make for a great fight. One last thing before you go. I just wanted to ask you about training at AKA. I saw on your social media that you've trained at AKA in San Jose.
San Jose. Yeah.
Epic people train out there. What was that like?
great. That is a fantastic experience. I mean, I built like a relationship with those guys. You know, we're not, I went from being a sparring partner to being one of the guys. You know, it was, I think that only really happens if there's a likeness in characters. And
yeah, definitely.
Especially those, it's weird because those characters are all very different. Mm. Like DC is so different to Luke. And Luke is, I'm more, my character is similar to DC. He's just a prankster, a bit of a joker, you know?
Yeah.
A kind guy and like a model guy, but at the same time, like, can fight, do you know what I mean? Can do what needs to be done. And I've always been like, kind of like the laughing character in my friends, you know? I'm always witty and stuff like that. And that's how we got on really well. But those characters are good because they all sort of bounce off each other. Because they're all motivated and driven by the same thing, so it was good to be around that and see how those guys are. And I would still be there now if I didn't have visa issues. That's the only reason I came back, because I had visa issues.
Okay.
So I was stuck here for 2 years without going back. And obviously, you can't put your life on hold, because I was living out there. You know, you can't put your life on hold. So I had to sort of like re-establish myself back in the UK.
Yeah.
And I'm actually going to go out there after this fight. I'm going to go out there and see those guys again and get a little bit of training. And it'd be good.
So
it'd be good to catch up.
Here when you're training in England.
I'm a proper floater. I love floating about. Like, I'm like a bit of driftwood.
Yeah.
I'm just always always moving around. But my stable is first generation in Eastbourne.
Right.
I do all my grappling there with Tolly Plested. And but I bounce around. I do a lot of boxing with a boxing trainer, Shane Kent. He's over in New Haven. So it's all down on the South Coast. And I like being by the sea. It's quite nice to just be down here and see the ocean. And I'm close to France. If I want to hop over and go to France for the day, it's just nice. I like moving around. You know, I don't like being like static in the same place all the time.
Yeah.
Kind of suits my wacky thoughts. Just fly about everywhere. So.
That's also a good way to pick up the best from, you know, all over. I think very few fighters these days just stay at one gym all the time solely. So many other fighters go to a load of different gyms, different gym for a fight camp, or even just, you know, to get some diversification into their training.
Well, I think that's important. Diversity is important, but you also got to know what works for you. So, you know, if an opportunity comes, like I went to the States in November, I went and trained with Alistair Overeem because he was getting ready for his fight against that Russian dude.
Yeah.
Well, I've known Alistair for years, like donkey's years. So he's trained him when he was in Holland. So it's nice to go over there and then I meet new people, like, you know, you meet like Neil Magny, Justin Gagey, these guys, even though they're not the same weight. You're picking things up from them and stuff, you know. So I think it's important. I'm a bit of a, like, I love boxing. Like, I've always loved boxing since a kid. So when I had opportunities to go up and train with David Hay and Joe Joyce up in at the Haymaker Gym, I jump at that stuff, you know. And and I think you do. You pick up something from, you might pick up something from a session, you might not. Even if it's just how to slip a jab, you pick something up, you know. And that's... to me is like the it's like a logbook. You know, you take all these notes, you got this logbook, and then you come home, you sit down and you revise, and then you find the bits that work for you, and the bits that don't, you kind of just discard them. But you can never stop learning. You can only improve or get worse.
Hopefully we won't get worse.
Hopefully I won't get too bad.
Thank you so much for your time tonight. I really appreciate it. So Rock 7 is on the 2nd of March at the Brentwood Centre in Essex. You're headlining the card. Any final words, any shout-outs for anyone? Or
Para, bitch. You're fucking dead, mate.
Thank you so much. Mic drop.
Mic drop. What? Boom.
That was amazing. Thanks so much for your time, Chai.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, take care. Bye.
Bye.